you're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A quick programming heads up on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We have two special broadcasts. At noon, it's a rebroadcast of the 2021 official Wisconsin celebration and tribute, hosted by WPR's Dr. Jonathan Overby. Then at 8 this evening, it's a special MLK Day edition of Why Race Matters. That's hosted by PBS Wisconsin's Angela Fitzgerald. More is at WPR.org. Now to recruiting police officers and a Republican bill package. Here's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss at a news conference earlier this month highlighting the financial benefits of the package to attract new people to the force.
If you're in law enforcement right now, you would receive up to $2,000 bonus for being on the job. If you are somebody who's a new hire or thinking about going into law enforcement, we would actually give a recruitment bonus for every single person who comes onto the force.
Courtesy of WTMJ-TV, are you a police officer, a deputy, a police chief? What is morale like in your department? Are you able to fill vacancies? 800-642-1234. Jim Palmer is executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, the state's largest union of law enforcement officers. Jim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Well, lay it out for us, if you will. What is the workforce situation like in policing in Wisconsin? What are we facing here?
Well, by every indicator, it is definitely a growing problem and an area of concern, not only for law enforcement, but for public safety and officer safety. What we've seen over the last 10 years is a pretty significant decline in the number of law enforcement officers working throughout the state. From 2010 to 2020, there's a decrease of law enforcement of about 2%. At the same time, our population, according to the latest census figures, has increased by 4%. And we're seeing, again, some additional increases in things like violent crime. In 2020, Wisconsin saw an 8.5% increase in violent crime, which is about 5% increase that we saw nationally. So these are some significant, very significant issues. We're also seeing, lastly, a very significant increase in the number of officers in this state that are assaulted in the line of duty. Just from 2017 to 2020, there's been about a 42% increase in the number of officers assaulted in the line of duty. So, according to the best information available, latest information from 2020, more than 1,100 officers throughout Wisconsin were assaulted while they were on the job.
You had mentioned violent crimes and the surge there. The pandemic has brought a whole different set of circumstances that police officers are facing. Could the increase in violent crimes, could that be contributing to these departures?
I think that is one of several factors. Certainly the increase in violent crime that we've seen is one. I think, some of the public attention or scrutiny that has been, confronted the law enforcement profession in some regards unfairly, I think, has also exacerbated the problem. But regardless of where I travel throughout the state, I hear from agencies of all shapes and sizes that they're having a very difficult time getting an adequate number of applicants. Departments where you used to literally get dozens of applicants for each open position, many agencies now are reporting that they're unable to get a number of applicants that equals the number of positions open. So that's a really concerning problem, something that I think the law enforcement community certainly is cognizant of, and the general public needs to be aware of as well.
What effect do high-profile police killings have on officers departing, the death of George Floyd, the death of Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, the aggressive tactics some officers used against Black Lives Matter protesters? Can you look at this exodus through the lens of justice?
I think there is a component of that, certainly. Law enforcement is one of those rare professions where an officer in another state or another part of the country can be involved in a controversial incident that garners a lot of national media attention, and it impacts officers all across the country and here in Wisconsin. The law enforcement profession is very rare, I think, unique in that regard. And so I do think there is some of that, which is why, as we've discussed in previous discussions, why our organization's been commissioning an annual statewide poll for the last 10 years. Because we try to show not only the general public, but members of our own profession here in the state that the public does hold law enforcement in high regard. And are there things that we can do to strengthen the relationship between law enforcement officers and the communities they serve? Absolutely. And we think our organization and law enforcement generally has been working to do that.
And you're talking about the annual public policing on issues that you do each year, starting back in 2013, I believe, related to policing in the communities. Through those surveys through the years, is there anything that the public feels really strongly about as it relates to recruitment or training or retention of officers? Or is there nothing really in the questions that you ask that would parlay to those issues?
Well, I think one thing that stands out in particular is that across all demographic categories, Wisconsinites, according to our polling, have a strong support of training. And they want officers to be very well trained. And here in Wisconsin, we have some of the highest and most rigorous training and certification standards of anywhere in the country. And we think that's a good thing. That's a good thing for the men and women in the profession and also for the public and the communities that they serve. We pose a lot of questions about the type of policing that they want, and there is enormous support for community policing efforts and for body-worn cameras. When we look at the demographic categories, that is, what we find is that minority respondents in particular have a much higher degree of support for things like body-worn cameras and community-oriented policing. And so that, I think that, it's clear the general public, rather, want more officers in their communities, not less, which is, I think, sometimes something that gets distorted in the public discourse. But when we read some of the results of our other polling questions, we see that the general public just doesn't want more boots on the ground. They're telling us what kind of policing they want. And that's something that we should try and be sensitive to.
We're talking with Jim Palmer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, as we look at a bill package aimed at recruiting police officers. You can join in with your insights, 800-642-1234. One bill in the package would offer signing bonuses to first-time officers, and the bill would also give additional money to officers who have out-of-state experience. What do you see in this package around money and bonuses? And also, why encourage new or out-of-state officers to apply?
Well, I think anything we can do to increase the number of officers in the state is good for public safety. It's good for officer safety. And again, Wisconsin does have some very rigorous training and certification standards. So even an officer coming from out of state is going to have to meet those standards, the standards that we hold up high here in this state. I think it's important with regard to this package of bills. I think we're generally supportive of them. Our organization was not involved in their drafting. And I think the real most important purpose that these bills serve is that they really do shine a light on some of the recruiting and staffing issues and the challenges that law enforcement is facing across the state. With regard to signing bonuses, I'm sure there isn't an officer in the state that wouldn't like a signing bonus or some kind of increase in their compensation that allows them to that recognizes their service. One of the other dynamics that has contributed, I think, to the decline in the number of officers in Wisconsin is the fact that in the wake of some of the collective bargaining reforms in 2011, law enforcement officers are largely unable to bargain with regard to their health insurance. And, that is something that has impacted and continues to impact law enforcement officers across the state. In fact, right now, the city of Racine, we're involved in litigation with them. They're trying to take away retiree health insurance, which is something that they have had for many years and that they've bargained for. And now they're trying to use the collective bargaining laws enacted in 2011 as a basis to strip retirees of that protection, those health services. So I think, all these things have kind of combined to exacerbate and contribute to, what a pretty troubling decline in the number of officers throughout the state.
I want to circle back to something you said here. It's surprising to me that your organization was not involved in drafting this bill package. Is this something you would have wanted to be involved in?
Certainly, absolutely. I mean, you know, we are involved in a lot of the vast majority of bills that touch law enforcement. Lawmakers will reach out to us, and on some of these bills that did occur, I think these bills are well-intentioned for the most part. And again, they do shine a light on a pretty troubling decline in the number of officers. But I think these bills, you know, by some of the primary sponsors, were held pretty close to the vest.
I wonder, when departments don't have enough officers on patrol duties, what happens then? Do they move officers from other units? How do you cover patrol duties if you don't have enough officers on the force?
Well, it incurs a significant increase in overtime costs. Officers are ordered to work overtime. It's much more difficult for them to get time off and get the vacation time that they deserve and that they need. And so really puts a strain on the officers that are currently working in an agency. Some departments have taken, you know, detectives and officers that wouldn't normally be work on patrol and put them on patrol for shifts just to cover, you know, their minimum staffing levels that they need to for different shifts. And so it is a very significant problem.
Let's go to Lisa now in Appleton. Lisa, hi.
Hi.
What is on your mind?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, if I was going into a, you know, a career and I was getting a bonus, why would I want to go into a career that's at risk? It's the crime rate's going up, as you say. So I think it's putting the money in the wrong place. Like, why don't we do things, because the tough on crime era hasn't worked to reduce our crime out there. People don't want to go into these positions to get hurt or be subjective to, you know, doing their job. So why don't we train either the people that are there right now or help the people that are committing the crimes, because the tough on crime era is obviously not helping Wisconsin.
Lisa, thank you. Jim Palmer.
Well, I appreciate the question. I think there's some validity to that, that perspective. You know, I think we've long learned, or we should have learned, that, you know, being tough on crime is not always the same as being smart on crime. You know, we do here in Wisconsin, the law enforcement community undergoes a significant degree of training, and their certification standards and their and recertification that they have to undergo constantly each year, a lot of training. And so there are a number of proposals in this package that was recently introduced that do get at that and you know, make those training funds more accessible to local governments throughout the state. And obviously, in the end result, would increase the training opportunities for officers. And I think that would be a good thing. But and incidentally, you know, the officer shortage in the state also impacts the ability of officers to get training. And if they are ordered to work overtime in order to and can't get the time off, you know, it's not uncommon for officers to, it's much more difficult for them to get the time off they need to get the training and get additional training. And so some of the proposals, I think, would help ameliorate that a little bit. But I do think that, you know, it's anything we can do to shine a light on the troubling decline in the number of officers throughout the state, and I think it's a good thing. And I think that we also have to be mindful of, you know, other law enforcement strategies like community-oriented policing and doing what we can to, you know, bolster those services. You know, obviously that's something that would, you know, when we talk about defunding the police or significantly cutting law enforcement funding, you know, that impairs and undermines any agency's ability to engage in community-oriented policing. And so that's something we need to be aware of.
We have the head of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, Jim Palmer, as we look at a Republican back package aimed at recruiting police officers. Has your community struggled to recruit and retain new officers? What effect is the churn having on your community? Have you recently retired from the force? How has policing changed over the decades? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Jim Palmer here on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back. We're talking about police officer recruitment and the future of the law enforcement profession with a Republican bill package. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A survey last year of nearly 200 police departments found a significant increase in resignations year over year. But it was the retirements that jumped out, a 45% spike in the retirement rate. That's from the nonprofit Police Executive Research Forum. Are you an officer? What do you think will keep you and your fellow officers in the profession? Can you make a clear connection to calls for police reform to officers vacating the force? Still time, 800-642-1234. We have Wisconsin Professional Police Association Executive Director Jim Palmer with us for about 7 more minutes. Let's go to Margaret now in Milwaukee. Hi, Margaret. What is on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And thank you for the police work that is being done. My question has to do with technology. I wondered if policemen feel like technology is changing their jobs in good ways. It seems to me like we read about various things. I don't know, like you can focus in on where a gun was fired or various things. And is it actually helpful to police? Do they feel like it's making their jobs better, more effective?
And technology, a very broad word there, Margaret. I mean, my initial thoughts is body cams. When you think of technology, what do you think about, Margaret?
I was thinking about technology, yes, body cams, but also the use of data, figuring out from data, maybe behavioral things, the use of computers on the force. Does that make certain jobs, perhaps desk jobs, somewhat obsolete, and you can concentrate those, get more people out on the street? It is a broad topic, but that's what I was curious about.
Interesting. Jim Palmer.
Well, that is a broad topic, so I'll try and tackle it broadly. But I think to answer Margaret's question, I think technology has helped law enforcement significantly, whether it's with body cameras or the use of data, and other resources. I think it's important to note that, you know, law enforcement is often behind the curve of some of the technological challenges or gains that are made in you know, the criminal element. I mean, just as the general public, our technology is growing all the time and improving, you know, it takes law enforcement has to oftentimes catch up. And so it's not a kind of a one for one or kind of proposition. And so anytime there is new technology that's introduced into an agency, there are also some challenges with that and some growing pains, so to speak, whether we're talking about, you know, drones or the use of cameras or the use of data and how that's used. And there are privacy concerns, which are legitimate. But those are things that, local governments and law enforcement agencies have to ferret out in a way that, you know, that those that are committing crimes don't have to.
The new technology as well, even the use of data, that too takes money. Those police departments need the money to buy that technology. And I would imagine, Jim, that too can be a barrier.
It certainly can. You know, with regard to, body-worn cameras probably provide the best example of that. The cameras themselves are not necessarily significant. It's how to storage all the data that those cameras collect. And then it's all, you know, the public records and public access considerations that have to be accounted for. And, you know, here in Wisconsin, the law enforcement community has worked with lawmakers to develop some firm guidelines and retention periods and things that don't exist in a lot of other states. And so I think that's good, but it does kind of highlight, you know, how there are a lot of cost considerations that go with that technology. And you know, sometimes agencies have to decide whether or not they want more officers. Or do they want certain technological resources? And that can be a difficult prospect to consider.
Jim Palmer with us, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. Let's go to Joe now, joining us from Superior. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I have a question about the lack of support on the part of law enforcement organizations, including police unions and so on, for reasonable gun safety measures. We've seen a huge proliferation of guns in this country, and yet I don't see law enforcement coming out vociferously in support of efforts to try and get a handle on that. I just heard a report on NPR this morning about the threat to police officers from this proliferation of guns. And yet, where is law enforcement in coming out strongly in support of this? We see Kyle Rittenhouse walking the streets of Kenosha and getting high fives instead of questioning why do we have people walking our streets with high-powered rifles. I guess I'm just asking, why aren't we seeing more effort on the part of law enforcement to support these measures, reasonable gun safety measures?
Joe, thank you. Jim Palmer.
Well, I think that's a great question, and it's a very fair question. As the state's largest law enforcement group, our organization has been involved in these discussions at the state level. We've supported legislation to make it difficult or to eliminate, straw man purchases where someone purchases a gun for someone who isn't otherwise able to do so under the law. I think when we publicly polled on this issue in the past, we see that Wisconsinites are pretty divided on it. And not surprisingly, officers are divided on it as well, depending on where they work. We see that, for example, that officers in more urban areas do have a kind of a stronger position relative to guns, whereas, officers in rural areas or northern parts of the state where, things like hunting are more, a part of the cultural norm, the views towards guns are much different. It's a complex problem, and I think we have been involved in the discussion. One of the things that we've tried to shine a light on, for example, not only with our members and officers throughout the state, but also with the general public, is the significant number of officer-involved shootings that involve people confronting officers with guns. When we first started collecting data, and I think the state is going to start collecting this data now under some new legislation that was passed, but we started collecting this data 10 years ago on officer-involved shootings and reporting it publicly. And, when we first started doing so, it was about 55% generally.
And we only have a couple seconds left.
So, now, in the last 2 years, we've seen 68%.
And you're listening to the Ideas Network.